Welcome to the Week Ahead podcast, where we preview the upcoming week and we hone in on some of the main things to look at, which could move share markets around the world. And today I'm joined by Ryan Felsman, who's a senior economist at ComSec and my colleague, and I'm market analyst Stephen Daglian. Good to chat again, Ryan.
Absolute pleasure, Steve.
Well, thank you. Well, firstly, just taking stock of what's actually happening in markets at the moment. It's been a bit of a rough ride. The ASX 200 is roughly at around a 10-week low. We're most of the way through our worst week in 6 months as far as how much we've actually fallen. Six straight weeks of decline seems likely at the moment, as long as, you know, we don't get a hefty rebound on Friday. And that would make it one of the longest weekly losing streaks we've had in years. And right at the top of the list as far as what's been moving markets around most recently has been the collapse of a couple of US banks. If you had to summarize this, you know, quite briefly, how would you do it?
Well, what we've seen in the United States is a couple of regional banks, Silicon Valley Bank, a bank that probably no one's ever heard of before,
yep,
and also Signature Bank. And they, in recent weeks, have had some difficulties. In fact, there's been a run on deposits, particularly for Silicon Valley Bank. And Silicon Valley Bank has been heavily involved in the private capital and tech sector of the United States. And of course, with interest rates being hiked significantly in the last 12 months, we have seen some liquidity and credit difficulties associated with that bank in particular. And in response to that, we have seen concerns around a deposit run, liquidity, and just broadly credit risk in the US regional banking sector. And on the back of that, we have seen significant falls, particularly in the KBW Regional Bank Index. And we have seen some other names, such as First Republic Bank and others, really leading the S&P 500 whenever there's been a rescue package or some semblance of a liquidity backstop announced by US regulators or the US central bank, along with the Biden administration. And then other days, like today, we saw that at the bottom of the S&P 500 index after concerns about Credit Suisse. So what investors are concerned about at the moment really is that we may see contagion and a potential banking crisis spread to Europe. Mm. Although Credit Suisse has been a known issue for some time. Mm. So its annual report was released for 2022 a couple of days ago. And in that report, there were mentions of financial reporting irregularities, which is always a concern. And what we have seen is investors withdrawing from Credit Suisse on the back of that over some time. Last night, its share price fell by 24% to a record low. And we heard from its biggest investor, the Saudi National Bank, who said that it was unwilling to provide any more financial assistance. It's got 10% ownership of Credit Suisse, and for regulatory reason, it can't go any higher. And then we heard from the Swiss National Bank, the central bank, and its banking regulator came out and said, well, you know, we'll provide a liquidity backstop for Credit Suisse and appropriate capital buffers as well. And what we did see was certainly some sort of respite in terms of the fall in US major share market indexes. We did see the Dow Jones down 725 points at one stage and the S&P 500 index down 2%. They recovered somewhat, were still down. And then overlaying all that is we have seen concerns about the global economy, a recession, whether the US Federal Reserve and other central banks continue to lift rates with this uncertainty around the banking system, but inflation still remaining elevated. And what we have seen is oil prices under pressure. So we saw the US crude oil price fall by 5.2% last night. And that's been a drag on energy shares on top of financial shares. So that has affected global share markets more broadly.
There's a lot to digest there, isn't there, as far as what's just been happening in the week? Because just recently, all the attention has been on inflation and rate hikes, and now suddenly this comes out of the blue and it throws a spanner in the works, if you will. So that's why we've seen a bit of a flight to safety, if you will, in markets, and why certain assets have done better than others. I mean, gold prices, for example, have jumped up. And on Monday and Tuesday this week, the top five performers on the ASX 200 for both of those days were all gold mining companies. So you can see that certainly has been an area which has actually done reasonably well under these circumstances. But And you've mentioned interest rates. That's probably a good time to talk about the Federal Reserve, because they're meeting next week and they've got a lot to really work through as well.
Well, absolutely. And to your point about the under and out performers, what we saw last night was the NASDAQ actually close up slightly. Mm. And we have seen a considerable rally in US Treasury yields. And we have seen in particular the 2-year, which is very sensitive to interest rates. We have seen that really go up and down like a yo-yo. And on the back of that, repricing by markets of expectations around interest rates. We have seen technology shares in the United States actually outperform. So the likes of Microsoft and Netflix and Alphabet were up last night. Obviously, tech shares benefit from lower market interest rates. So there's some interesting dynamics going on just on the US Federal Reserve. Of course, it's just 5 days before policymakers sit down in Washington, and exactly what their decision will be on interest rates and in coming months is pretty much anyone's guess at the moment. Mm. Of course, we heard from Fed Chair Jerome Powell only a couple of weeks ago, if that, and he was very hawkish in his intentions to lift interest rates, and that's on the back of hot inflation. We saw the latest consumer price index numbers earlier this week for the month of February. The headline was broadly in line, up 0.4%. We saw the annual growth rate ease back to 6%. That's the lowest level since September 2021. But disturbingly, the core number, which is what the Fed focuses on, was actually up slightly more than expected in the month, up 0.5%. The annualized number did ease a little bit to 5.5%, but it remains well above their target at 2%. So they're in a bit of a conundrum here. They've got to balance financial stability risk, worries about the collapse of those two large regional US banks, and at the same time, continue to fight inflation. So we have seen, as I mentioned earlier, the yield on the 2-year Treasury bond, which is a proxy for Fed policy expectations, plummet by more than a half percentage point, the most since the day after Black Monday in October 1987, earlier this week, and then roughly recovered half of that on Tuesday, and then it dropped by another third of a point on Wednesday. So that just shows where markets are at the moment. Mm. We've started to see markets pricing the potential for a pause from the Fed. I think the likely outcome is that the Fed will lift interest rates by a quarter point to about a range of 4.75 to 5%. And whether they increase from there is debatable, but we're getting closer to the terminal rate, the peak rate. But of course, financial crises demand destructive. Banks reduce credit availability. Consumers hold off on large purchases. Businesses defer investment and spending. So they've got a delicate balancing act here, fight inflation or focus their attention on those financial stability risks and the banking sector more generally.
Yeah, so they hand down this decision at 5 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time or Sydney time on Thursday morning. And you're right, markets' expectations have been all over the place with this. I mean, we had to go back a week ago and the market was pricing in a 50 basis point hike. They were convinced that would be the case. And today, at most, it seems to be a 25 basis point hike. And a 50% chance of no move is what they're pricing it at the moment. And if we look at this in a day or two, that could be a little different as well. The Reserve Bank, that's going to be another one which has been will be interesting. We're 2.5 weeks away now from the April policy meeting by the RBA. A lot of economic data in the last 3 or so weeks has generally been on the weaker side, from growth to wages and monthly inflation. We've just had an update on jobs growth. What did you make of that, and what difference is that going to make?
Well, in terms of the 7th of March meeting minutes, it's important to recap that the Reserve Bank said inflation had peaked in Australia. So that was a critical quote. And then looking at wages, which is a key component of inflation, they said a lower risk of a cycle in which prices and wages chase one another. So receding risks around a wage price spiral or vice versa. And then the key mention, which was slightly more dovish, was the board still expects further tightening of monetary policy will be needed. But that changed from the corresponding statement of February, where they said further increases in interest rates will be needed over months ahead. So really, it was a toning down of that last paragraph, which was important. And we did see a little bit of a repricing of the terminal rate and expectations around interest rates in Australia on the back of that. But really, markets are now pricing in a potential pause from the Reserve Bank following the distress in the US and European banking system. But also at the same time, we have seen some key data being weaker. So we have seen a little bit of an easing in the monthly consumer price index. We also saw a very weak consumer confidence survey early this week, and business confidence has turned negative as well. So what we're going to see going forward potentially is a slowdown in consumer spending, but also at the same time, there's three other reports which are very important to the determination of the Reserve Bank's decision. The first one, as you mentioned, Steve, today was the labour force report for February. We saw a lift of 64,600 jobs in the month of February. That beat expectations, which were up 50,000. Mm. The unemployment rate fell back from 3.7% to 3.5%. So we think that the RBA is likely to stick with its tightening bias for now. They have lifted interest rates by a whopping 350 basis points since May last year. So our view at the Commonwealth Bank is that it's likely they'll do one final 25 basis point rate hike to 3.85% on the 4th of April. But we also get updates on retail spending and the monthly consumer price indicator later this month. And you take that together with what's going on in the global banking system, the imminent fixed rate mortgage cliff, and obviously the increase in mortgage servicing costs to households, then it seems like we are near the peak for the Reserve Bank.
Yeah, so if there's one thing that might have the Reserve Bank thinking twice about what it might do in early April, it would be like a really weak retail sales report, inflation continuing to drop back, and things not really improving on the global banking front. So that's going to be a big one to watch. There's a number of other things, of course, happening over the course of the week. The Bank of England is also going to be holding its meeting too.
Well, that's right. Central banks are in focus at the moment. And before the Bank of England actually meets, we get the latest consumer prices data out of the UK. Mm-hmm. And economists are expecting to see the annual growth rate in the headline consumer price index ease from a whopping 10.1% down to 9.6% in February. So that's well above the US. The US is at 6%. So we're not seeing quite the same quantum of easing when it comes to consumer price pressures in the United Kingdom. So while we are seeing European bank stress, we still think the Bank of England will lift interest rates by 25 basis points to 4.25%, Steve.
And the Swiss National Bank as well, which of course has been a bit more in focus with the situation with Credit Suisse at the moment, will also be holding its meeting on Thursday night. But let me just talk you through the week quickly for those who just want to get an idea of what's coming out on a daily basis. On Monday, we've got a speech from a Reserve Bank official, Christopher Kent. Tuesday, we've got some those weekly consumer confidence figures, which you kind of alluded to, and then the board minutes from the Reserve Bank on Tuesday as well. There'll be quite a bit of money being paid out in dividends. We're not quite at the peak of the dividend payment cycle just yet, but there'll still be some pretty big names like Challenger, Computershare, REA Group, Medibank, Sonic Health, IAG. They'll all be distributing their dividends as well. On Wednesday, as you pointed out, the inflation stats out of the UK will be released. And then we've got some actually out of Canada on Tuesday, which I skipped. And then later on in the week, on Friday, we've got a number of updates on the services and manufacturing sectors around the world. How important do you think that might be as well? Just to get an idea, I guess, of how the different sectors are doing globally.
Yeah, very important. So this will focus on the developed economies throughout the world. Always a big focus on the United States with this one. What we have seen in America is different outcomes. We're seeing some weakness in the factory or manufacturing sector. But on the flip side, the services sector is going gangbusters. So consumers are still continuing to spend, although we did see a slightly weaker retail spending number out of the US overnight. So services activity remains broadly strong. And why that's important is core services prices, a key component of the overall consumer price index, which is feeding into those inflationary pressures in the United States. So that'll be a key focus. Also in Europe, we have seen a little bit of a recovery taking place there. Everyone was expecting a recession at the turn of the year. Things have improved somewhat there. So whether they continue to pick up and improve will be debatable. We'll see what happens there. Here in Australia, our manufacturing and services sectors are continuing to expand, but their growth rates have eased. And of course, with all those rate hikes feeding through the real economy at the moment, be interesting to see whether there's some sort of contraction maybe in the services sector or not, but we'll wait and see for Friday.
Thank you, Ryan, for joining me, and I hope you have a great week. There's it's going to be a lot to get through.
Pleasure, Steve.